Cool. I like to do people putting their hands in the air in the talks because it stops you from falling asleep and it makes me more visibly aware that people are actually listening to what I'm saying. So put your hand in the air if you've ever used Homebrew. Okay, a reasonable number of people. Put your hand in the air if you ever contributed to Homebrew. Put your hand in the air if you ever tried to contribute to Homebrew and I closed your PR. Okay. Sorry. I've not been able to hear all the talks today. I do try as much as I can closely what's going on in package management world. Shout out to Andrew, who's written a lot of very good comparative blog posts on this stuff this year that I've enjoyed. So I'm going to try and talk about today is like a bit more high level than I might say with Homebrew stuff about, okay, what have we been doing in Homebrew now and why and what can we maybe learn about it in other package managers. So who am I? Hello, I'm Mike McQuaid. If you want to know about me now, my website is the best place. It's all connected to social media and stuff. I don't read anything on social media anymore, so email me if you want me to actually see it, or post on social media if you want to talk shit about me behind my back and feel great about it. My background, I guess, like how I've got into Homebrew and stuff. So I've worked in software for almost 20 years. I've been working on Homebrew for 17 years this year. I'm the project leader, which is an elected sort of dictatorship sort of position thing. I'm a CTPO in my normal life, day job, whatever, and that sort of vaguely overlaps with Homebrew, but not very directly. So why should anyone care about Homebrew, package managers, what I have to say? Who in here cares about package managers? Okay, good. I'm glad that someone does other than Andrew, because otherwise he'll probably cry. But I guess in my life, the thing that's great and terrible about Homebrew is that it's somewhat taken for granted. Like a lot of package managers, it's just part of the infrastructure of how the internet works, how I do my job, whatever, right? So if you go and who's run Brew Install in the last week, say? Okay, right, like you probably didn't really think very much about it, right? Because you probably just ran something and then hopefully it worked. But then when it doesn't work, then everyone gets upset. Like most of the time, it only specific things are broken in specific ways for specific people. But then when it's all broken for everyone, then everyone gets very concerned. And the emotional reaction that people tend to have to when these tools break is heavy because they're so reliant on these tools. Like it's really important to them that it works. And in some ways, it's, if I can be a little bit philosophical, it scares people a little bit when they are forced to actually think how many bits of the internet and tools that they rely on by all these people at all these places all around the world, that they are completely unable to do their job unless all of these things connect together. And often, the people who are the most involved with open source are the people who are the most forgiving when Homebrew breaks, and the people who are the most disconnected from open source are the people who are the most angry and sometimes abusive when Homebrew breaks. It's a bit like your toilet, really, because when it's working, you probably don't spend a lot of time deeply thinking about your toilet, unless, like me, you've recently been in Japan, and you're like, wow, their toilets are so much better here. Why is my toilet like that? But then, when your toilet breaks, then we just get shit everywhere, right? Like, there's chaos, no one knows what they're doing, no one knows how to fix it, no one really wants to stick their hands in there. Our friends at the beginning of the talk. We may be at the end. So most people get very frustrated when their tools are slow. Another one, Bundler is slow. Like everyone often complained about that for a good many years, right? And then work gets done, people get frustrated. So I feel like in many ecosystems, people get the same feedback about things being or feeling slow. They maybe don't even know why, but then sometimes the reason why it feels slow is because we get new tools. So Cargo is often held up as an example of a package manager that like feels fast, right? And I've not done huge amounts of Rust stuff, so I'm not super familiar, but it's, you know, that reputation for speed is something that's appreciated in the community. It sort of founds the community's expectations of what these tools should be like, how they should behave, how fast they should feel, how responsive they are. In some ways, it kind of helps to buy into like, what does that language community care about? Like the Rust community seems to care deeply about building lots of tools that are responsive and fast, well parallelized, and all these type of things. You know, a lot of the tools that one of my favorite tools that's embedded just about everywhere now is like RIP grep, which if you were like, how many people went down the path of like, oh, ACK and then the Silver Searcher and finding the perfect tool to search through your code base increasingly quickly? Right, yeah. So if you went down that line, then you learned a few years ago, like, oh, well, these tools started to be built in Rust. And there just became this little niche of people in the Rust ecosystem who really cared deeply about just being like, I'm going to make the fastest version of X, or I'm going to make a really parallelized version of some existing Unix tool that hasn't really been updated in 20 or 30 years. Right? UV, obviously, that's another example now, right, where that in the Python ecosystem is kind of reshaped expectations of what speed we should be expecting from these tools, like what we can do. And I think UV is an interesting example because, I'm not super au fait, so excuse me if I misspeak slightly on this, but my understanding is some of the reasons why they've been able to be faster is because they've kind of dropped some support for legacy things, which tools like pip or whatever might still have to rely on, right? And again, like this is where things get a little bit more tricky and a bit more murky for us as like package manager, like developers. It's like, okay, so what? To what extent do we prioritize speed or backwards compatibility or following the leads of other tools? Or maybe we have multiple tools in the same ecosystem. Who can say, right? So Bundler, right? Like, I feel like Bundler was a tool that 10 years ago, I heard people complaining about how slow it was all the time. And then a lot of work went into it. And then now it's a tool where, you know, it's not the fastest thing in the world, but it's still, like, it does not seem to get that complaint levied against it nearly as often as it once did, right? And I think Bundler is a nice example because they didn't throw out everything that they were doing. A lot of just time and effort went into it behind the scenes.